interesting, or this could be a mountain made out of a molehill. So I just want you to understand that from the get-go. I personally have no idea how this is going to go. But I think it will be interesting. Now here's why I think it's going to be interesting. Remember, I think it was the last month when I did the Sunday night, we did the crossing of the Jordan River, right? And we kind of put ourselves in that scenario. Well, I kind of want to do a similar thing, not with Jericho, but where the next battle, of Jericho, where the next battle, bringing a story that we know to life off the page, bringing a couple things off the page that really jumped out at me that I'd never looked into before when you think about the Battle of Jericho, okay? Now, I'm not talking about the Battle of Jericho. What I'm going to talk about tonight, if you open up to Joshua, the 6th chapter, I will tell you in just 2 seconds what I'm going to talk about. We will mention the Battle of Jericho, and it will kind of be our forefront, but the lesson isn't about the Battle of Jericho. But let's remind ourselves of the Battle of Jericho. Jericho, right? Walled city like none other. They've just crossed over the Jordan River like we saw before, and they go, and remember how they take down the walls of Jericho? For 7 days, right, they march around. So on the first 6 days, they march around. The Ark of the Covenant is out there. They march around. On the 7th day, they march around the city 7 times. And on that 7th time, they blow the trumpet and they shout and the walls fall down. What I want to talk to us tonight about is the sound of the trumpet. I want you to think right now about what you picture in your head of the trumpet itself that they would have sounded. I want you to look in Joshua the 6th chapter. I want you to notice that verse 4, we learn that there will be 7 priests that have it. Okay? So let me tell you what comes into my mind. And this was the thing that jumped out at me before I tell you what the actual trumpet was. In my mind, I pictured a Louis Armstrong trumpet. Or a Miles Davis trumpet. Where you're really just blaring on some sweet metal trumpet, blasting it out. Well, verse 4 tells us it was not a metal trumpet. I want you to notice verse 4 very carefully of chapter 6 of Joshua. 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. And we'll see that they will go on to blow those trumpets. So now I want you to picture a ram's horn. What in the world would that look like, blowing a ram's horn? Well, maybe it's one of these bad boys. Maybe it's one of these really big horns that is going to produce a relatively loud noise, very possible. Or maybe it is like this guy. He's got a tiny little ram's horn in which he is blowing out. And by the way, this ram's horn is called a shofar. And you can see, modern day, you can see the sounds of the shofar. That you got long ones, you got short ones, but they make the same sound, they produce the same sounds. And this was very common to them, okay? This was a very Jewish, very common Jewish thing. So, I want to play for you a couple sounds that would come from these trumpets. That would be the sound. So I will turn it over to this guy here for a second. Oh, we can't hear it, can we? So this audio thing is actually supposed to be able to produce sound out of here, but we're not getting any audio out, so I'm going to play it one more time. We got nothing. See, I told you, it's going to be this shofar man, he was going to be awesome. This guy didn't even know audio plugged in right here. I'm not plugged in there. I'm talking about on my computer itself. Oh, maybe it's still extended.
said that. There are four basic trumpet sounds that the Jews did. Thank you very much, Eddie, for turning the volume up on the actual projector. So we're about to see the four here. Man, told you it could be better. You have your four basic horn sounds that would come from that. Okay? Any idea what they would be used for? Any of those, right? They each have a very specific purpose. So I want to look at a couple Bible instances of where these four calls are used, okay? And then I'm going to replay it every time after we look at our text so that we can hear that sound from what the text indicates, okay? So does that make sense? So Jericho, I want you to look a little closer in your text. I want you to look in verse 5 here of Joshua chapter 6, this text that we brought up. I want you to notice what he says here in verse 5. So when they make a long blast with the ram's horns, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, then all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat. So we got the long blast that is mentioned. Do you remember him saying something about the long blast in the video? Let's hear the sound one more time. That is what they would have been walking around the city of Jericho blowing for 7 days while the army was silent. I want you to think about what might have been going through your head if you were a Jerichoite. You had already heard the stories about the crossing of the Jordan. You had already heard about what happened to these untouchable King Sion and this untouchable King Og, and what had happened to all of Egypt. You've heard about that. So that, I want you to go back to verse 1, so that before they ever started marching around verse 1, Jericho was shut up inside and out because the people of Israel, none went in and none came out. You see, Israel hadn't even surrounded Jericho, and Jericho had besieged itself. To the point where Jericho said, "You're not getting in here, and none of us are coming out." Because they did not want to go to battle against Israel. And so now, you've got this great Ark of the Covenant, this great piece of gold being carried on priest's shoulders, with an army walking around, with 7 trumpets by these priests, continually making that noise while circling. They want happens. Day 2 happens. What are you thinking about these people? Day 3 happens. Day 4, 5, 6. And finally day 7, you're like, well, here we go again. When are they actually going to do something? And then here they come. Luke 2. Luke 3. Luke 4. You ever been, like, nervous
something is coming and the anticipation is kind of killing you, like, get it over with already. I imagine that's kind of what is going on in Jericho, is get it over with already. We are tired of this suspense. We are tired of being shut in for this week period of time, whatever the case. And guess what happens? The walls fall down because they're commanded on the seventh day, when I tell you to shout, shout. And we'll come back to that in just a moment. But that's your sound that would have been walking around Jericho, a kind of a haunting sound, very much. So, the other day, and while I was even thinking about this, even before I was coming up with the sermon, I was sitting there, and I was in my living room, and I can hear the Presbyterian church bells, and I can hear the Catholic church bells all from my apartment. And I heard this bell sound, like, ding. And it was a very hallowed, very dark sound. I was like, that sounds weird. Then there was a space, an interval. And another one. I was like, it's not noon. It's not 6 p.m. And then another one. I was like, what's going on? And then it hit me. Somebody's having a funeral. The bells were of a funeral. It was of a sad sound with these intervals in between to get people to just calm down, to reflect. Everyone in town would have known what that was. The same thing right here. When they would have heard these sounds, they would know something is up. Something is coming. I want you to notice the first place where we learn about these shofars, these trumpets. Go to Exodus, the 19th chapter. It is in Exodus 19 in which they have just come out of Egyptian slavery and Egyptian bondage, and they are going to be at Mount Sinai, to where they are going to receive the commandments from Moses. Moses is going to go on the mountain for 40 days. And I want you to notice in verse 16 here of Exodus 19, when the people were to be ready. It was the third day. They were to be consecrated on the third day. And so it is here on the third day, verse 16, that on the morning of the third day, there were thunders and lightning and a thick cloud on the mountain. And notice this, a very loud trumpet blast. That sounds kind of like what we just had, right? There's a very loud trumpet blast, so that all the people in the camp did what? Trembled. Okay? Again, it's that sound. Now, I want you to notice, we got a storm going on, we got a cloud going on, and we got this haunting horn going on. Life is uneasy. Now, I want you to go now down to verse 19. Now, let's pick up 18. Now, Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended on it in fire. And the smoke of it went up like the smoke of a kiln, and the whole mountain trembled greatly. So we got an earthquake going on too. Now, 19. And as the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered in the thunder. Notice how there are two different sounds that are going there. We've got the very loud blast like we just heard about in Jericho. And we have this blast that gets louder and louder. So do you remember that from our core tradition? I'll play the sound for you again.
And the last one being the extreme cold, which is one long blast that gets louder.
Chapter 1, to anoint a king. Where at this, or it would be something like is done in Leviticus chapter 25, the year of Jubilee, where there would be this pronouncement of all this freedom and this greatness that comes in the 49th year, which is basically every 50 years.
But it would be to grab the attention of the people. So I want you to notice that in 1 Kings chapter 1. That's the one I want to focus on, is 1 Kings chapter 1. Is that you'll remember that David had a bunch of sons, right? But he had selected one son to be the heir of his throne, Solomon. So you would see down in verse 34 of 1 Kings chapter 1, that like Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet there anoint him king over of Israel. Then blow the trumpet and say, "Long live King Solomon." And then verse 39. So Zadok took the horn of oil from the tent and anointed Solomon. And they blew the trumpet, and all the people said, "Long live King Solomon." See, they got the attention of the people by his horn. They anointed him, horn sounded, and then everyone shouts, "God save King Solomon." There was someone who used a similar tactic to try to become king. Absalom. He said, "When we get in there, blow the trumpet and say, Absalom is king." Because there was some kind of message that was coming from that. So I want you to hear maybe the sound that was this attention getter, the one for this kind of jubilant time.
The scream, which is three blasts.
Or it would get you, it's like, okay, everyone needs to listen up. This is not a scary thing. This is, hey, I got something to tell you. Just come listen. Listen to what I've got to say, how it's got a different feel to it than the other sound, right? So your ears kind of perk up. Oh, what about this? It's kind of like at school. You get a little announcement over the thing. And you're like, I wonder what it's going to be. Okay, not that. No one's in trouble. It's just a basic announcement. Or you have the fourth one, which is more of a warning. It is this idea of the watchman and the sound that he would blow. So I want you to notice Ezekiel chapter 33. You can go to a lot of different places and you can see this. But Ezekiel 33 is the one in which I want to use to demonstrate this particular trumpet sound that would have been common to the Jews. In Ezekiel 33, Ezekiel has been appointed as the watchman of Israel, as is the Christ is going to be appointed as the watchman of Israel. Meaning someone who is watching out for the enemy. Someone who is proclaiming things that are they can see coming that everyone else doesn't necessarily see coming. But yet they are going to tell the people about it. So I want you to notice chapter 33 here in verse 1. That Ezekiel said, "The word of the Lord came to me. Said, Son of man, speak to your people and say to them, if I bring the sword upon a land, and the people of the land take a man from among them, and they make him their watchman, and if he sees the sword coming upon the land, and he blows the trumpet, and he warns the people." I want to stop right there. If you've been appointed this job of watching out for the enemy to come, and your job is to let everyone know that the enemy is coming, he says, you blow the trumpet. Okay? Now I want you to notice the scenario here, verse 4. So if anyone hears the sound of the trumpet, but does not take warning, and the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head, because he heard the sound of the trumpet and did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself. You understand that, right? Watchman's job, you see the enemy coming, you blow the trumpet. But for those of us that are not the watchman, if you hear the warning and you don't budge and you get taken up, guess whose fault that is? It's your fault. So have you ever heard a fire alarm go off and you didn't budge? Like, oh, it's just a faulty alarm. It's just boy crying wolf. And so one time in my old apartment, fire alarm went off. Not an uncommon thing. And they're like, well, fire alarm's going off. How long is it going to take for them to come over here and turn this thing off? And just about a minute or so later, I don't quite smell right.
and open up the door, and everyone else on the floor is looking out. Everyone's like, is anything going on? And lo and behold, at the other end of my floor, you start to see smoke coming out of the last apartment. So guess what we all did? We all tucked in and ran out. But if the other floors, they didn't see the smoke, they're all probably thinking kind of the same thing. Next thing you know, there's all chaos breaking out in the building. And it was just a little grease fire that went in the kitchen. But the fact is, we all heard the alarm, and nobody at all was nervous until they saw all the smoke. You ever ignore the warning like that? You say, guess what? Spiritually speaking, people are appointed to warn us about what is going to come because of sin. And if you don't heed the warning, that's on you. But if you were appointed the one to tell everyone about the upcoming doom, the impending doom, I want you to notice now verse 6. But if the watchman sees the sword coming, and he does not blow the trumpet, so that the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any one of them, that person is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. You understand what it says there? If you're a watchman and you don't blow the trumpet, that guy, yeah, he did wrong. And that guy is going to have to deal for his own sin, his own iniquity. But guess what? His blood is on your hands because you did wrong. That's a pretty serious job, isn't it? And that's why this sound is not a comforting sound either.
Being the truth, which is kind of an alarming sound with knives staccato type blast.
You understand how that's a little more get on your horse and let's go? There is some urgency to that call, and if you heard that thing over and over and over again, you see the urgency behind that sound. I'm warning you, they're coming. The British are coming. The British are coming. Old Paul Revere, right? As true or as fake as that story might be. It's that same type of mentality. There is that warning. And you say, what in the world is that going to do with anything? Well, spiritually speaking, don't we all get the trumpet sounded at us? Where God is using His Word to say, hey, you keep doing that, or if you commit this, here's what's going to happen. And God is saying, it should be alarming in our ears. Because our fire alarm, right, it's not a pleasant, comfortable sound. It's supposed to wake us up. It's supposed to alarm us. And that's what oftentimes the Scripture is supposed to do. So you understand there would be different sounds in which they would use to get the attention. So that passage that we read in Isaiah 58 that Ed read for us, I want you to notice this in Isaiah 58, and then I'm going to move forward to one last kind of point. I want you to notice something in Isaiah 58. In Isaiah 58, if you heard the reading, Isaiah is being told by God, these people, they are fasting, they're doing all these things of worship, but I will not hear their voice. But I want you to notice what the Lord tells Isaiah to do, verse 1. Cry aloud. Do not hold back. And here's the phrase. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. See, Isaiah was the one that was supposed to tell them, yeah, you've got all this religious stuff going on in your life, all of these fasts, sacrifices, feasts, you got it all. But God is warning you, your heart is far from it. Get this thing right. And so Isaiah said, you make your voice a warning to these people. Does that make sense? So that's your basic kind of thing. But when you're reading about your trumpets in the Old Testament, understand that the trumpet wasn't just a Louis Armstrong trumpet, which I love the sound of. But it was a trumpet in which it carried a distinct message or a distinct reason for it. Okay, so you remember how I said we're going to bring something to real life, like back to Jericho? We know that Jericho story pretty well, right? Remember how many trumpets we had in Jericho? surrounding that city? Seven of them, right? I want you to go with me to Judges, the seventh chapter. Yeah, I want you to go with me to Judges, the seventh chapter. There's another story that most of us probably know pretty well. There was a judge by the name of Gideon. And remember Gideon, he was going against a super large army. And he himself had a pretty good sized army. And the Lord says, you need to dwindle down your army. Because your army is too big. And remember how they went through that kind of the whole process of dwindling down? Hey, if you don't want to fight and if you're scared, go on home. And there were quite a few that went on home. And the Lord said, the army is still too big, Gideon. He said, take them down to the water and see how they lap up the water. And so through that process, they dwindled it down to where there were 300 soldiers left against this army of over 100,000 people. And the Lord says, yeah, that's the size of the army I want right there. So he picks these 300 people. And they're going against this great army. And I want you to notice in Judges, the seventh chapter, a lot of different things happen. But their military tactic is very simple. We're going to divide into groups. And we're going to surround this army by dividing into groups. And you notice in verse 16 that he divided 300 men into three companies. And what did he put in their hands? He put trumpets in their hands. And all of them in empty jars with torches inside the jars. And he said, look at me and do likewise. When I come to the outskirts of the camp, do as I do. And when I blow the trumpet, I and all who are with me, then blow the trumpets also on every side of all the camp and shout for the Lord and for Gideon. Okay? Remember what time of night this was? Dark. Middle of the night. They are separated. They are surrounding this army, and Gideon blows his trumpet. And guess how many other trumpets follow? 300. We heard the sound that one trumpet puts out, didn't we? Can you imagine 300 of those bad boys in the middle of the night, throwing it down on the ground to break the pitchers, the jars, and saying, we're coming for you. You get that, right? It is no wonder that the Lord had that army turn on themselves and they start fighting one another because they're just all in a panic and they start killing one another. To the point that when Gideon and his men got down there, they were all dead. That is a trumpet sound. That is God saying, this battle is mine, this battle is not yours. How many times did God do that for his people? Jericho, impenetrable city, shouts and trumpets. Gideon, 300 versus ginormous army. Trumpets and shouts. So, New Testament speaking. Is there anything about trumpets and shouts? I want you to go to the book of Revelation very quickly. We really only see really two, maybe three trumpets. I'm only going to really point out two groups of them. Let's go to Revelation, the 8th chapter. In Revelation, you have seven trumpets. And these seven trumpets are sounded. And I want you to notice the setting in which these seven trumpets are sounding. Now, notice verse 2. That John said, I saw seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. I want you to back up with me verse 1. So when the Lamb opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for half an hour. Do you get that feeling now? That middle of the night, that Jericho, complete silence, even in heaven. And now the Lord says, here's the trumpets. before they hand out the trumpets, notice now verse 6. So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to blow them. It wasn't time for them to blow the trumpets yet. Because another angel flies into this scene. And I want you to notice now in verse 3. So another angel, not one of the seven, but another angel came and he stood at the altar with a golden censer. And he was given much incense to offer. And this censer was filled, this incense was the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. And the smoke of that incense, with the prayers of the saints, rose before God from the hand of the angel. Do you picture what's happening there? Another angel, while this warning or while this trouble is being shouted or about to be shouted, another servant of God comes and offers the prayers of the Christians before God. And so you have now in verse 5. So then the angel, he took the censer and he filled it with fire from the altar. And he threw it on the earth. And there were peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. Does that sound familiar? How about Mount Sinai? The place in which God came down and showed His presence with the thunder and the lightning. And what you have is now terror is sent to the earth. And so verse 7, the first angel blew his trumpet. Verse 8, the second angel blew his trumpet. And verse 10, the third angel blew his trumpet. And each of these sounds, each of these things that come are somewhat judgments. They are very much problems that will come to the earth. But they will not affect the entire earth. Sometimes it'll be a third. Sometimes it'll be a half. Sometimes it'll just be some. But the point is, what God is shouting from His throne is that the earth needs to beware of my anger. And man, it would have been a scary thing were we to get the Lord's anger with such a sound. And that is what God is trying to get across to us in His Word, is listen. Oh, heed the warning as we sing, or your life will surely be gone. Right? Oh, yes, your life will surely be gone. Because the other big trumpet that we hear in the New Testament is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, in which angels again are used. It's that these Thessalonian brethren, they are worried about their brothers and sisters in Christ who have already died, that they were going to miss out on everything. And so verse 15, the Apostle Paul says, "This we declare to you by a word from the Lord." I emphasize that because Paul is saying, I'm not making this up. I'm telling you what the Lord told me to tell you. This message comes from the Lord. And what is that message? That we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. 4:16, for the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. You see, because there will be the final trumpet that is sounded that will come with a great shout. Jericho, Gideon, where the Lord has come back to take vengeance on those who do not obey, 2 Thessalonians would say in chapter 1. He's come back, but that shout will be of the trumpet so that the dead in Christ arise. See, as haunting a sound as it would have been to be walking around Jericho and hearing the priest blow the trumpet, the If you're an Israelite, it's still a very haunting sound, right? But you're okay. It will be the same thing for Christians. It will catch us off guard. We will be nervous. But in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, whether we are dead or whether we are alive, when we hear that great trumpet, we won't have to ask, what is that all about? We will know it is the Lord Himself descending from heaven to either take me back home with Him, to where we'll always be forever with the Lord, or to where He's sounding off my warning and my judgment, I'm taking you away to eternal punishment. Go and die or die. We're going to hear a trumpet at some point. Are we going to heed the trumpet now? You understand where that's coming from? I think it's okay. I think it's an okay sermon. You get it. You can disagree and you can tell me flat out. It doesn't really bother me one way or the other. But I thought it was relatively interesting, this idea, and maybe it will give us a little more life to, especially as we're reading through the Old Testament, some of these stories that we know pretty well. Now, maybe you're ready to heed the warning, and you're ready to be baptized into Jesus and have your sins washed away. Or you need the prayers of the congregation here. Why don't you come now as we stand?